The vast majority of the 42 million people with HIV around the world don't have access to drugs that would prolong their lives. In the United States, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention count at least 100,000 people with HIV who are not getting the medications they need. Federal and state funding for AIDS drug assistance has not kept pace with need. Most states are in a major fiscal crisis, and programs are overwhelmed because the drugs are expensive and helping people live longer. NPR's Brenda Wilson reports.
William Reed and Bill Hancock live in a blue two-bedroom bungalow in Portland, Oregon. Until recently, Oregon very generously supported people like them who are living with AIDS.
When we moved in here, the place was kind of, you know, had been trashed pretty much. And so we painted and did some decorating. And
Hancock says they met 8 years ago at a hospice. Both had AIDS. Doctors had just begun treating people with HIV with the new drug cocktails that combine protease inhibitors and other anti-AIDS medications.
So while we went there and we were not expected to survive, the average resident stay there at that time was about 60 days. And we anticipated that it wouldn't be any different for us. But with timing and maybe a bit of just dumb luck with the protease inhibitors, we both responded to those drugs and we responded to each other. And we left there about 9 months later. And we've been together ever since. And we've, you know, pretty much rebuilt our lives.
They rebuilt their lives on a daily regimen of 22 pills that are taken 2 to 3 times a day. Hancock's partner, William Reed, dumps a plastic shopping bag of orange, blue, green, and red capsules and white pills onto the dining room table.
I take Epivir, Kaletra, Virid, which is one of the newer drugs on the market, Zyogen, and one called T20, which is an injectable drug that I have to do twice a day.
The cost, Reed says, about $50,000 a year for the two of them.
Each dose is $52, so it's $104 a day just for that. My Kaletra is roughly $870 for one bottle of it. And a tentanol, my heart medication.
Hancock and Reed receive Social Security disability income. Doctor and hospital expenses are covered by Medicare. The drugs had been paid for by Medicaid, but 3 months ago, they received a letter from the state of Oregon, which is facing a nearly $1 billion shortfall, saying Medicaid would no longer cover the cost of the drugs.
Both William and I had referred to that letter as potentially our death notice. The first thing we did was we tried not to panic. We contacted our state caseworker to determine if there were any other options that we could pursue. And at that point, we were told we were basically on our own.
They were told that the state's care assistance program had a waiting list.
For example, someone dies, you know, and then someone from the waiting list moves into the program.
And their joint income of $1,400 a month meant they didn't qualify for ADAP, the AIDS Drug Assistance Program, a federal program administered by the states. Eligibility varies. Some states are generous. Most, however, restrict coverage to the uninsured working poor. Right now, 13 states have waiting lists for ADAP. Others save money by limiting the drugs they cover. Congress recently appropriated an $80 million increase for the program, but Bill Arnold of the ADAP Working Group says that's more than $100 million less than needed. Arnold says ADAP wasn't designed to pay for the expensive drugs for more than a few years.
As people stopped dying in 1996, the demand for access to drugs has increased. Each year the figure gets bigger, and each year the administrations, regardless of whether they're Republican or Democratic, get more nervous about spending that much money. And each year the death rate continues to drop and people continue to survive and we continue to find new people. And then other funding streams, the private health care and private insurance, health care insurance market, dumps people. And now, of course, with the Medicaid cutbacks that are going on now, people who might have gotten their drug coverage through Medicaid are suddenly finding themselves in trouble. And they go to ADAP, and ADAP is in trouble.
Arnold says the government cutbacks meant to save money will ultimately cost society more because they force many people with HIV to sacrifice their jobs for health.
They may be working, they may have two kids, they may be supporting a family, and suddenly they require a drug that costs half their paycheck. And they're put in the ridiculous position of either going without the meds until you get so sick that you're in the emergency room and deal with it, you know, much, much later, or quitting work, which is the one thing in our society we don't want people to do, so that they can suddenly say, I'm poor because I don't have a job anymore, and now I'm eligible for Medicaid.
AIDS activists say the real source of the AIDS drug funding problem is the price of the drugs. They say the government ought to be putting pressure on manufacturers to lower their prices. Some states are negotiating discounts, and the companies also provide limited assistance to patients on a case-by-case basis. After months of navigating a maze of applications and phone calls to drug manufacturers, the state of Oregon, and their local pharmacist, Bill Hancock and William Reed are covered until July 1. Then they'll start the process all over again, hounded by the fear of being back where they were before they left the hospice.
When we left our house of Portland, we had and owned nothing except some clothes, and we completely rebuilt our lives. And now we just both feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath us. I'm just kind of like waiting for somebody to tell us that this has just been a really cruel and sick practical joke.
The advent of new, more effective, and even more expensive AIDS drugs in the pipeline means the problem is only going to get worse. Brenda Wilson, NPR News.